Real music, real interviews, real information. That's why we call it Real Gospel with the X-Man.
Melba Moore is back. She's back for part two of our dynamic interview, and I can't wait. But we'll have to wait till after this song. Here's Melba Moore with McFadden and Whitehead with Let's Stand Together. Real Gospel is the place where God gets the glory and artists tell their stories. She is back, and I'm honored to have Melba Moore on Real Gospel. When we last spoke, she talked about being saved, and she talked about everyone around her being saved. And I think you said you were on a bus. So is that where we left off?
Yeah, my actually, that was my very first tour. All of the Broadway, I've done Hair, Curly, Les Miserables, which of course is quite unusual, but my natural voice is classical, but I've learned all the other different genres. I've done Ain't Misbehavin', I've done Chicago, but I never toured. So the first show that I did on tour was called Mama, I'm Sorry, and it was produced and written by Michael Matthews, who really started and created the gospel genre, which Tyler Perry has taken to, I'll call him the new Hollywood, because he does film, does music, he does television, he still does live plays. He just took the gospel musical genre to every different level, not a new level. He's done everything that can be done with it.
Well, let me reintroduce you to the listeners. I am honored to have the one and only legend herself, Melba Moore. She is a prolific 5-octave, 4-time Grammy nominated singer and Tony Award winning actress. She's also a contemporary soul, R&B, pop, rock, jazz, and gospel recording artist. And we were talking before the interview, and we just said, you know, there's got to be a movie forthcoming about your life and your story. And she says that she believes there will be, and I believe that somebody should jump right on it. But let's pick back up with where you were in this story, so that the listeners can continue to be inspired by just where God has taken you.
Sure. Well, one of the things you did mention is that at my senior stage of life, I have a brand new smash hit called Just Doing Me.
Yes.
And it was written and produced by George and Angela Pettis and one of the top DJs, Terry Hunter. It's a house dance music, so that's a fairly contemporary genre of dance music.
Okay. Well, we will definitely check it out because, you know, some people like to listen to gospel on Sundays. But, you know, throughout the week, you know, we do listen to other. As a matter of fact, I was sharing with
you.
Well,
as long as it honors God, you know.
It's yes.
Still a ministry to me anyway.
Yes. Oh, as many. As a matter of fact, I'm program director for a radio station called WFSK, located on the campus of Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. And the overall format is a smooth and contemporary jazz format, which I know you would appreciate.
Yes, that belongs to God, too.
Yes, it does.
I just want to make sure everybody knows that all belongs to Him. I know we have what we call secular, but what I call secular now is it's separate and secular if it doesn't honor God.
Well, let's weave that into the conversation. Let's weave that into the conversation since we're talking to God's people.
Sure.
And let's just help some of the people understand the difference and how you're able to separate it and how God has blessed you.
I think He's put me at the forefront of things. I've been like a late bloomer, but in some ways, I've been at the forefront of things that He's ushering in. And I think what He's saying, it belongs to me. So there is a separation between the sacred, of course, and the secular. But what we traditionally call secular, I believe God is, that's why we're having this pandemic and we're having this shutdown, so people can have time to consider God first, and that they, if they're going to have life, they got to study Him and find out what He wants for them, that He created them. And I know I'm stepping into the aspect of what us saved people know as He's made of us new creatures by the Pentecostal grace that He's put upon us. And we literally are new creatures, which means that we are enabled by His grace to understand and know more about who He is and what He's been teaching us and what we're supposed to do with it and how to make our whole lives under His unction and function. The whole life, not part of it. We don't secularize it. We secularize it as much as we know, but we're coming to another age of more wisdom and more knowledge. That means if it's wisdom, it's only about Him. And if it's anything else, there isn't anything else. I'm just one of the first people in what we call the secular world to say that to you and hopefully demonstrate it.
I like how you explain that. And that is going to bless so many people, because oftentimes especially if, you know, a person such as yourself whom has tremendous gifts. You're able to play an instrument. You're able to sing. You're able to act. You're able to dance. You know, God has carved out an individual path for you, and you've continued to keep God first in your life, giving him the honor, giving him the glory, which has continuously opened these doors for you. And I think that is so inspiring to other people, because could that be a burden to some people? Because you mentioned the Church of God in Christ, and I'm a member of the Church of God in Christ. I grew up Pentecostal. I remember how hard it was growing up in those, in the older days, where my cousins, she was a female, she couldn't wear makeup, she couldn't wear pants. A lot of things have changed since then, but I just remember how tough it was. And so, yes.
I think it's supposed to be tough. If you're Pentecostal, you have a special gift, so you're going to have a special burden. But as we move through it and God continues to open us up more and more and more, we see, oh, actually what we're learning, I believe, and I think you'll agree with me, is more ways that we can include being holy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not limited, but in the beginning, we're children, as, you know, and well, we are, we're going to always be his children. So compared to God, we ain't never going to know nothing, but...
Mm-hmm.
If you were blessed to be Pentecostal, you would just, I think, enlightened first about the great, 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 great holiness of God.
Yes.
And that you must treat it that way. You don't dress any old kind of way or talk. No, you were blessed. And that's, it's that kind of a burden, a beautiful, beautiful, fabulous burden, not a negative burden.
Amen.
That's my humble opinion.
Amen. Hey, I'm listening and I'm learning. And so are the listeners. And so I guess we'll skip along, because I don't want to I want to take advantage of every opportunity to get wisdom from you about your career and your music. You did work with
Let it be for everybody, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
But, you know, what you think will really benefit your listeners is what I want to talk about.
Amen.
But you choose.
Well, I'm just allowing you to speak. I'm allowing God to just continue to allow you to pour into the lives of our people.
No, but I always get a chance to speak, so you tell me what y'all want to hear.
Well, we're doing a great job. I'm learning so much about you and your career as well, because I've followed you for a very long time. I used to be a secular radio personality years ago. I played a lot of your music. I've seen a lot of your work on television. I've seen you do tremendous work with the NAACP, and as a matter of fact, you produced some work with B.B. Winans. Am I correct?
Oh yeah, the Negro National Anthem.
That's right. Lift every voice and sing. I'm also a member of the Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, which the author of Lift Every Voice and Sing is a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. I mean, it's just hard to pinpoint, because you're just, God has blessed you. I mean, you know, you.
Well,
let me
interrupt you and give a credit to Dr. C. Dolores Tucker and Dr. Dorothy Height,
mm-hmm.
The president of the Negro National National Council of Negro Women. I was on hiatus and I saw her. I think she got the NAACP award, if I'm not mistaken. Many years back, I can't remember the exact year.
Okay.
But I contacted her and I asked, could I come out with the National Negro Council of Women just to be under her mentorship? And I was out there for several months, and she said, no, but why don't you sing at our prayer breakfast? I said, I'll be happy to. She said, why don't you sing the Negro National Anthem? And being from New York City, I didn't know that we had one. So I was with Capitol Records at the time, and so I took it to our A&R person, whose name was Scott Fultz, and he was a black person, so he understood my desire to give honor to it and lift it up, and that a lot of us didn't know we had a song that identified us as a nation. That's because we came here as slaves, and much of our heritage is still not presented to us in the right way. And he went out and got B.B. Winans for me. And B.B. and Scott helped me. Well, it was my idea, but they helped me go out and get all of these different icons, black artists, to participate with me, because my concern was that if it became a hit record, people would think it was my hit record and not realize that it was our national anthem. Yeah. And that's the story of Lift Every Voice and Sing.
That could have created a whole other set of issues.
Right.
Wow. That is simply amazing. So let me ask you this, as we have about maybe 4 minutes left. Is there anything that you have not done yet that you would like to do in terms of acting? Or because you were in, like, weren't you in a few plays? I'm trying to recall, like, sort of...
Well, as I was telling you before, my very first Broadway show was Hair. That was a groundbreaking musical.
But before,
and it spawned people like Diane Keaton.
But well after
but
Hair.
But I was also, I got a Tony Award for Pearly. That's what put me on the map and made me a big star. And then I got recording contracts and everything after that. Later on, I was the first black actress to star in the role of Fantine in Les Miserables. Those are major. I starred in Timbuktu opposite Eartha Kitt. And then later on, I did Ain't Misbehaving in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I've done about 5 or 6 or 7 Broadway musicals. And what I would like to do is because these happened really through the grace of God, but I didn't have any real management or agencies. You have to have the business part of your career, or it won't be consistent, or you lose it. The fact that I've had so much success without these things in place is just, you know, God's grace. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to do now is continue to build the business aspect of my life in good, consistent management in these different areas, so that when I get ready, I'll be like Bette Midler. I'll come back and, you know, do a Broadway musical when I get ready.
Amen. And I can see it happening, and maybe, you know, even sooner than that, we'll be able to, you know, watch your life on the big screen and just be able to honor you and celebrate you. And so, Ms. Melba Moore, it's been a pleasure and an honor having you on Real Gospel. I pray that you continue to be safe in the age of COVID, and that
you too.
Thank you so much. And that, you know, people get the opportunity to really appreciate just the blessings that you've been able to be for us over the years. And and I'd also like to add that I really appreciate you still being willing to do things like this, you know, radio interviews with people
like
myself. Because you don't, I mean, thank you. I mean, you don't have to do it. I mean, you there are so many things that you could be doing.
No, but I'm gifted. There is nothing to do but serve God. There isn't anything else. Thank God. I know that. So I'm honored to be with you.
Amen. See, such an humble spirit. And that's why I want the listeners to really take the opportunity to go back and look over your career. And if you missed the first part of this interview, just go to my website, RealGospelWithTheXMan.com. The first interview is posted there. I'll be posting this shortly. As a matter of fact, before the end of this interview, in the next couple of minutes, it'll be posted for you to go listen to both parts, and a link to her website, melbamore.com, I'm assuming that's what it is, will be posted so that you can check her out as well. So, Ms. Melba Moore.
I forgot to tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
You can find me on YouTube.
Ah.
YouTube.
Of course. Yeah. YouTube. There's a lot of stuff. Your music is on YouTube as well. So.
Everything is there.
You're right about that. I learned how to put stuff together from in car parts and cooking, and just everything is on YouTube. So you're on YouTube. Yes, indeed. Yeah. In closing, is there anyone else that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Did I say James Huggins?
You can say now. You did on the last episode, but you can tell him again now.
Shout out to James Huggins, my nephew.
Yes, Huggy Bear, we call him. And he reached out to me to make sure that the numbers were correct, that he reached out to me to make sure I had the music, your bio information. I mean, he is on top of it. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew that, because oftentimes, I know you probably already know, but sometimes when we have family and friends, you know, representing us, we don't always know if they're doing the job that they say that they're doing. And so, but I want you to know that he has been doing an outstanding job in representing you, the label, the family, and the music. So kudos to him. He's a professional.
Yes. Thank you, James. So,
yes.
We love you.
Yes, indeed. Ms. Melba Moore, I really appreciate you. And thank you so much for spending time with us on Real Gospel.
My pleasure. Okay.
You're listening to Real Gospel with the X-Men. And the Real Flashback Song of the Hour is on the way.